This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I'm grateful for the way that we greet one another before each worship service. If this is your first time with us, hopefully you'll come back next week and be able to respond and know exactly what we're doing. But if this is your first time, we are especially glad that you're here and hope that you feel welcomed and have a chance to meet some of the friends sitting around you. If you're just joining us online, we're grateful to be together in this time of worship, and we hope that you feel the presence of those hosting you online as well. I would ask everyone to take a moment to register your attendance. We have registration pads here in the sanctuary that hopefully are being passed down the row, and there's a QR code in the bulletin you can use to sign in. There's a link in your on your screen if you're worshiping online that you can place in your browser to take you to the registration place. And if you are visiting with us and would like to know more about our church and perhaps consider joining us on the journey of faith, we'd love for you to share your email address, a mailing address, or phone number, and that will give us a chance to reach out to you. If you are visiting with us or you just want to hang out with a pastor or two, right after this service, we are having coffee with a pastor. This is a new thing we're trying once a month or so. We'll be just down the hall in Bishop's Parlor. You go down the hall and take a right, and it's just an informal time of gathering and conversation, and we'd love to get to know you, answer any questions you have about the church, and spend some time together. If you're a student at a college or university here in the area, every Sunday during the school year, we have lunch after the late service that we provide for you. And so if you're here at this service, we welcome you to come back at noon and join that group for lunch. I have some wonderful things I want to share with you about next Sunday. It's going to be really special and different and exciting, and I'm really looking forward to worship on Sunday morning, and then our Theo Ed event in the afternoon. First of all, I want you to know, if you're planning to be here on site, that there is the hot chocolate race happening on Sunday morning, and it will affect us a little bit. I think Elliston Place is going to be closed, so especially for this service, as you make your way to church, just come by West End, and that will give you easy access. Our guest on Sunday morning will be Dr. Julian Davis Reed, who will lead us in a time of worship and singing. He will take the sort of middle part of the service that we call the proclamation and response and guide us through those moments of music and reflection and rest. And then during the Sunday School Hour up in the Fourth Story Theater, Lanisa Rouse will be with us, sharing her art and some of her story and how art can be an expression of our faith. So it's going to be a wonderful Sunday, and there is a lot more detail in the bulletin, and we look forward to being with all of you then. Also, our Older Education Fellowship group will have a bake sale going on next Sunday, so not only great worship, but great food. And then at 4:30 in the afternoon, we'll gather at the Woolworth Theater downtown for the Theo Ed event, which is open to our whole community. Again, details in your bulletin about how to get tickets. We'll be providing rides on our bus if you need them, so just sign up for a ride if you need that. And then one more announcement to mark your calendars for March 1st, Saturday. That is our great day of service, where people of all ages can sign up. The sign-up information's in the bulletin to come and help our partners in ministry at Connection United Methodist Church and the Launchpad Ministry. Okay, I think that covers it for our announcements. This is the last Sunday of our worship series that we've been walking through since January, asking the question, who's calling you? Who are the voices that are shaping our lives? And how do we, as the people of God, stay grounded in the one voice, the one God who calls us by name and calls us beloved? So let us prepare with gratitude to worship this God who loves us unconditionally.
You are my spirit, with you. Good morning. Please join me in the call to worship printed in your bulletin. Jesus beckons us, come, follow me.
As people of faith, may we receive the call of Jesus.
Jesus invites all of us to worship and feast at the table.
As people of love, may we extend the call of Jesus.
Trusting that God's love for us is unconditional and God's mercy is everlasting, let us make our confession with the confidence of children of God. Gracious and merciful God, and now, O God, we offer you our individual confessions in silence. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen.
As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you.
Great joys of the church is the baptism of children. This morning, Amy and Nash Hickman bring their son before God and before the community of faith for baptism.
My family in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We're incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. And all of this is God's gift, offered to us without price. Amy and Nash, I ask you now on behalf of the whole church these ancient questions of the faith. Do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? If so, say we do.
We do.
Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? If so, say we do.
We do.
Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior? Put your whole trust in his grace and promise to serve him as your Lord in union with the church, which Christ has opened to all people. If so, say we do.
We do.
And will you nurture this child in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example, he may be guided to accept God's grace for himself, to profess his faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? If so, say we will.
We will.
And my friends in the congregation, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? If so, please say, we do. And will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include this child now before you in your care? With God's help, We will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround this child with the community of love and forgiveness that he may grow in service with others. We will pray for him to be a true disciple who walks in the way that leads to life. Let us pray. Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection, and to make disciples of all nations. Pour out your Holy Spirit and bless this gift of water and this child who receives it, to wash away sin and clothe him in righteousness throughout his life, that dying and being raised with Christ, he may share in Christ's final victory. All praise to you, eternal God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen. You can see me. And what name have you given your son? Charles Nash Hickman. I baptize you in the name of God the Father who created you, Christ the Son who redeems you, and the Holy Spirit who will live within you and be your friend and advocate all the days of your life. Amen. I know. My hands are cold. Okay, Charlie, you want to go back to Daddy or Mommy? Let's do that. Yeah, we can do that. Much better. Now, all of us are going to lay hands on you, including Miss Tammy. We're all going to pray for the gift of the Holy Spirit in your life, okay? Let's pray. Charlie, may the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all the days of your beautiful life. Amen. All right. Well, Charlie, you want to take a walk with Mom and Dad? Let's go. Let's go down the center aisle. Because there are a lot of people smiling at you. And they want to welcome you on behalf of the whole church into this wonderful life that we call the life of faith. And you get to walk this journey with us. And there will be people all along the way who teach you about Jesus and how much God loves you, who show you what it means to love God and love your neighbor. And maybe some of them will be a Sunday school teacher or a confirmation mentor or choir director. All sorts of people want to love on you and want to learn from you. So I want you to listen as they make their promises to you, okay? We invite you to rise in body or in spirit, and let's make our promises to Charlie.
Please open your bulletin to the commendation and welcome and face Charles Nash. It is our joy to welcome our new brother in Christ. Members of the household of God, I commend Charles Nash to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase his faith, confirm his hope, and perfect him in love.
We give thanks for all that God has already given you, Charles Nash, and we welcome you in Christian love. As members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ.
Thank you. Please join me in the prayer for illumination printed in your bulletin. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 5, verses 27 through 32. If you would like to read along, please turn to page 837 in your pew Bible. After this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at the tax booth. And he said to him, "Follow me." And he got up, left everything, and followed him. Then Levi gave a great banquet for him in his house, and there was a large crowd of tax collectors and others sitting at the table with them. The Pharisees and their scribes were complaining to his disciples, saying, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" Jesus answered, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I've come to call not the righteous, but sinners to repentance." The word of God for the people of God.
It's time for the children to come forward for a special moment together, and love for you to join me up here if you'd like. You can bring a parent or grandparent or friend if you want to. And if you're worshiping from home, we'll just get a little closer to the screens and we'll have a few minutes together. Come on down. I know some of you have a break from school tomorrow. This is a nice long weekend. Hope you get to sleep in and rest well. Come on down. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Can we see everybody? There we go. Come on in. Join me and Miss Tammy. Here we go. Well, Mr. Andrew just read a story to us from the Bible, and it talks about a day when Jesus called this man named Levi to follow him. Levi was a tax collector, and there were a lot of people who did not like tax collectors. They thought tax collectors were mean, and they thought they were bad people, and so they didn't want to spend time with tax collectors. They didn't want to have them over at their house. They didn't want their children playing with the children of the tax collectors. And then the day came when Jesus called a tax collector to come and be one of his disciples. And it just reminds me that Jesus loves everybody. And Jesus can call anybody at all to follow him. And when he called Levi, Levi left everything, his whole life, everything he was behind, and he followed Jesus. That just reminds me that we can all be called by Jesus, and we can all follow Jesus. I wore this stole as a reminder of that, too, that God calls all different kinds of people. This is a stole that just has pictures of all the different kinds of children all over the world, and Jesus loves and calls each and every one of them, and every one of you, too. Let's pray together. Gracious God, we thank you so much for Jesus and that he loved everyone and he sought people out and he called them by name and he knew that they could follow him and be more loving. So we pray today that you will help us to follow Jesus too. You'll help us to know that he sees us and loves us. In his name we pray. Amen. All righty, 3, 4, and 5-year-olds and kindergartners can go to Children's Church. And the rest can go back and sit with family or friends. I just have to say, I didn't turn off the lights when I went into the pulpit earlier. But I thought how appropriate it was that it said, "Though the darkness hide thee." I mean, it all just worked together somehow. The Spirit's been with us this morning. As I mentioned in my announcements, we are at the end of a series, a worship series, that we have been walking through since January. The title of the series has been Who's Calling You? And we've been exploring all the different kinds of voices that are around us, the voices that come to us from the scriptures, the voices that are within us, the voices that are out in the world trying to shape us and tell us who we are and to whom we belong and what we're supposed to do, to try to tell us about other people and what their value is. One of our very first Sundays in this series, we talked about baptism. We had a reaffirmation of the baptism covenant, and we were reminded that at Jesus' baptism, just like our own baptism, the voice of God spoke and claimed Jesus and said, "You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And that same voice speaks to us in the waters of baptism. So our foundation, our starting point is always, we are God's beloved, called by name, known and redeemed. One of the things we did on that Sunday, if you were here, was everybody had a blue ribbon that they were given, and you could write your name on it, write the word beloved on it, and bring it up to the altar rail. And then some of our youth began to tie all of our names together and all of the words beloved to both the baptismal font and to this board here. And so for most of the Sundays in the series, we've had these up front as a reminder of the voice, the one that we are grounded in, the one that truly tells us who we are and who others are and who God is. So we've heard other stories about the calling of some of the disciples and how there were some voices in Jesus' life that rejected him, and how last week we heard the story of Simon the fisherman, whom Jesus called to follow him. And he heard a voice inside of his head telling him he was not worthy of that call. So we've explored this in different ways. And this morning we hear the story of the call of Levi. Now, we're not quite sure who this Levi was. There is, if you jump over to Mark's gospel, there is a Levi son of Alphaeus. If you jump to Matthew's gospel, the same story appears, but the name is not Levi, it's Matthew. There is in the list of the 12 apostles a James, the son of Alphaeus. So if you're a Bible geek, you could just dig into this, like, which one is Levi? We don't really know, but my theory is, I think there's a consensus that Levi was one of the 12. So Jesus is here calling someone to his innermost circle. He's calling around him a community of people who will be his closest followers, who will walk with him every step of the way and be shaped by his voice and his teaching and his way of being. So far in Luke's gospel, Jesus has called to himself the four fishermen, Simon, his brother Andrew, and their business partners James and John. We heard that story last week. Levi is the next one Jesus calls, at least that we hear the story of. And boy, is Levi a different story. Levi is a tax collector. Now, many of you know the reputation of tax collectors in Jesus' day. These were people who collaborated with the Roman Empire. Israel in these days was a subject of the Roman Empire. They were an occupied territory. There were Roman soldiers everywhere. They were living under the thumb of that imperial power. And the tax collectors were those who collected taxes from their own people, the Jewish people, to give to the Romans. So already they were collaborating, they were participating in the oppression of their own people. Not only that, but they were allowed to charge whatever they wanted to above and beyond what they were owed to Rome. So they could collect what was owed to Rome and then just charge people, just make money and profit off the oppression of their own people. So your average everyday Jew in first century Palestine despised the tax collectors. They would not associate with them. They were likely not welcome in the synagogue. They were considered sinners and unclean. You would never invite them to your table. They were shunned. And so that is who Levi is. We don't know anything else about him except his name and that he was a tax collector. And so when Jesus walks by his tax booth and says, "Follow me." I think it's a very intentional and strategic move on Jesus' part. Now, there may have been something that Jesus saw in Levi that made him realize this is the one. This is one of the ones I want to be with me. But I also think it's the very fact that he was such an outsider and so despised and so despicable to so many others, especially the religious authorities. Because I think Jesus wants to build around himself a community that is a sign of the kingdom of God. He wants the world to see that he, as the Son of God, is going on the margins and collecting all of these people and breaking down barriers and ripping up labels and offering grace to all people and whosoever will come. And as much as his choice of Levi offends the Pharisees who are there and others, I think that's part of the reason Jesus calls him. We see it played out in Jesus' ministry. If we look just at the 12 whom Jesus called to be his apostles, you have Levi / Matthew / James of Alphaeus, whoever. You have the tax collector. And then later on, we find out, we don't know anything much about him, but there's a disciple called Simon the Zealot. He was a member of a political group that wanted to rebel against Rome, wanted to take up arms and rebel with violence against Rome. Sitting at the same table with a tax collector and collaborator with Rome, they probably had some pretty different political opinions, and yet they were in the inner circle with Jesus. You have these fishermen, these men who work with their hands, who own their own business, who probably were not educated or literate. You have Nathaniel, who's a bit of a skeptic, Thomas, who's always asking questions, Philip, who loves everybody, just this incredibly eclectic group of people. And then you add to that the women that Luke tells us about in chapter 8. You have Mary Magdalene, from whom 7 evil spirits were cast out, a woman who likely had been very much on the margin, sick in body, broken in spirit, and yet she is healed by Jesus and is one of his closest followers. And then we have this little mention of Joanna, whose husband was the steward of Herod. So a woman who was in the inner circles of that local power of Herod, all in the same group, all in the same entourage, walking together, listening to Jesus, being shaped by him. This is the community that Jesus is creating. And if we take it past the moment of the resurrection, well, we have the day of Pentecost, where you have thousands of people joining the movement who are coming from all over the Mediterranean world, different languages, different skin tones, different cultures. Then you have Saul, the highly educated Pharisee and Roman citizen. You've got Philemon, who was enslaved by Onesimus. You have Lydia, who owned her own business. Just such a mosaic of people. And this is the new kingdom. This is the new community that Jesus is creating and calling to himself. And there are some who get right on board with it, like Levi. After Jesus calls Levi, he leaps up from the tax booth, leaves everything behind, leaves all of his money, his livelihood behind, it seems, only keeping enough to throw a big banquet. And then he's so thrilled to have been seen and welcomed and embraced by Jesus that he wants all of his other tax collector friends to have the same experience. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Isn't that evangelism right there? I have been received by the love and grace of this man named Jesus, and I want you to be seen and loved and embraced by that grace. That's what Levi does, and he wants to invite all of the tax collectors and sinners that have been associating with him up to this point. But there are some who don't get on board with this new community. We see the tax collectors, we see the Pharisees hanging out close enough to see what's going on at this banquet, but not sitting down with those people. And to give the Pharisees a fair shake, first of all, in the Gospels, they're often portrayed as sort of two-dimensional bad guys. But they've been shaped by a law and a practice of life that has taught this is what righteousness is. You keep yourself pure, and you don't associate with those places where bad things and sin are happening. So I do want to have some compassion for them in this story. But to their understanding, to be righteous means to be separated, not to sit down at the table with people like that. And here Jesus is trying to show them a different way, a different understanding of righteousness, to show them the heart of God. And some of them just don't want to sit at that table. They don't want to be a part of a community where those people are also at the table. I'm wondering about the disciples, at least the four we know of who are in the mix already. They've just started following Jesus, and yet they've known all their lives you're supposed to avoid tax collectors. And so here Jesus is living it up with these tax collectors at this huge banquet, and I'm wondering how comfortable they are with that. Are they in the room? Are they out there talking with the Pharisees? Are they trying to explain to the Pharisees what it's all about? Are they hesitant to sit down with these tax collectors? I think that's where I am in the story. Maybe that's where you are too. I want to follow Jesus. But this new kind of community that Jesus is building can be uncomfortable and far more expansive than I would have thought. And it's not easy to be in community with folks who are so different from one another. And yet I know deep in my bones that what our world needs right now is the church, is the community of faith where everyone has a place at the table and where Jesus Christ is the host and there is no seat of privilege and no seat that is lesser than another, where we can come and participate in a community of people who are so different from one another, young, old, rich, poor, all different kinds of folks, different languages, different life experiences, different stories, where the rule of our life together is love. And we can have friendships across generations and across political differences and across different levels of education. It's a beautiful thing. It's a sign of the kingdom of God that our world needs more than ever. So Jesus is hosting a banquet. In the season of Lent, we're going to be following Jesus through the Gospel of Luke at all the different tables he visited. We're going to be having opportunities to party with Jesus at the table and to be changed at the table. And so the invitation comes this morning in this story with Levi. Are we willing to sit down at the table with whoever else Jesus has called at the table and celebrate the kingdom of God? Amen.
Please rise in body or spirit and join me in professing your faith with the affirmation of faith printed in your bulletin. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to live with respect in creation, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. As we come to our time of prayer, may you be reminded that God hears all of our prayers, whether we speak them aloud or not. If you would like to share them with the pastoral team to pray throughout this week, please follow the link under Contact Us on our website. Or if you are here with us in the sanctuary, there are prayer cards in the pew racks in front of you that can be placed in the offering plates as they are passed. Please take note of the prayer requests listed in your bulletin and keep these names and situations in your heart throughout the week, praying for the realization of God's presence for each person involved. We have births, and so Virginia Bowden Malloy, I apologize if I'm mispronouncing your name, was born on February 12th to Elizabeth and Casey. She is welcome also by her grandparents, Leah and Ken Malloy, aunt and uncle Kelsey and Mike Malloy, and cousins Charlotte, Clay, and Griffin Malloy. Patrick and Stephanie Brakefield and their family are mourning the deaths of Patrick's mother, Carolyn Ross Brakefield, who passed away on February 10th. A memorial service was held on Friday, February 14th at Nashville First Baptist Church. The Lord be with you. Let us pray.
God of abundance, we find you in our tables that support our plates and our cups during dinner time, our tables that hold the strays of forgotten family game nights and math homework, our tables that were the site of job applications, college acceptance letters, graduation diplomas, bills, our tables that cradle and caress our tears and bear witness to our joy. God, much like our tables, you are with us for these pivotal milestones. Whether we spent them surrounded by people or individually, we know we spent them enveloped in your love. The love that is deep, boundless, never-ending, something we can always rely on. And for that love, we thank you eternally. But God, we also know we have not made a space at your table for all who wish to be there. Your table is open to everyone, and we have not made room. We have not pushed ourselves as far as we can go, squeezing in every last person that wishes to have a seat. God, remind us to lead through life knowing your love drives us. Your love guides us to make room at our table for all who wish to be there. God, we are keenly aware that tables such as this are a luxury and not something everyone will have access to or can equitably access. God, remind us to be aware of these barriers, and no privilege has no space at your table. There is a place for each and every member of God's family at your table, merciful God. There is a space for all of us. There is a seat for those of us who are grieving and mourning. There is a seat for those of us who are joyous and celebrating. There is a seat for those of us who reflect your love by supporting and caretaking. There is a seat for those of us who are simply holding on, trying to figure out what is next. God, your love is a constant, but another constant is the community we find surrounding your table. We hear echoes of this community in all that we do, but more strongly than ever, we hear them when our voices join together in times like these. When we say the prayer that your Son taught us, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And now, let us gather our gifts together and give them to God in gratitude and praise. If you're joining us online, there are links on the screen where you can give that way.
And if you're joining us in the sanctuary, offering plates will be passed down the rows, and there's also a QR code printed in your bulletin if you would prefer to give digitally. As we give and pass the plates down the rows, may we remember that God multiplies all of our gifts in beloved community.
Thank you.
friends, here we are, a collection of God's beloved. You should know that there were a few names added this week. Last Sunday, Reverend Stacy Harwell Dye went to Riverbend Prison, where she goes once a month to preach and share communion. And five of the gentlemen there wanted their names as part of this collection. So they are with us. And part of our job now is to go from this place and invite others to claim their belovedness and to add their name to this beloved community. Go with joy to share that love. Amen.